Welcome to the Hillary Step podcast number 7.
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah, it was. We figured that 2 years ago we did podcast number 6, so it made sense after 2 years to try to do another podcast. It's good, I think, to take 2 years off between every podcast.
You really need a lot of prep time.
Yeah, it's really, you prepare, you study, you do research, so it makes sense that we took 2 years off.
Yeah, because now we really know what we're going to talk about on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. We tried. Almost weekly we did podcasts during those 2 years. But we just rambled and talked about nonsense. And
yeah,
we didn't want to share that with you, so waste your time. Anyway, so glad that you're listening. We are in major preparation and triage, getting ready for our big show this Thursday night at the Broadway Comedy Club at 8 o'clock, Thursday the 29th. The Broadway Comedy Club is 318 West 53rd Street between 8th and 9th Aves. We're going to be doing the Hillary Step, a night of new songs, or maybe it's an evening of new songs.
An evening of new songs.
And that's very exciting. We had been playing the same songs for a while, and we felt like, you know, it's time to shake up the set a bit. So we took a little bit of time off, we wrote a whole bunch of new songs, and you get to hear the product of that work this Thursday at 8 o'clock.
Which we're very, very happy with.
Yeah, the songs are really cool. There's some nice growth to them. And if you are interested in coming out and checking out the show, drop us an email at thehillarystep@thehillarystep.com, right?
Yeah, the Hillary Step.
The email address is thehillarystep@thehillarystep.com. You could write the Hillary Step, then copy and paste it, then do the ampersand, then you could paste. Anyway, you know
it's not an ampersand, but you understand what we're saying.
That's not, what is that? That's not an ampersand?
What's
an ampersand?
I have no idea what that thing's called. I have no idea what that's called.
What's the ampersand?
The ampersand's the and. It's like an S on its side.
Ampers and. Someone named Amper designed that. And that was their and. Ampers and. Anyway, okay. That being... See, this is the crap you would have listened to
now you're
had you heard all
you're gonna
our...
You're going to get anyway.
What would be 104 podcasts that we did weekly between our last one.
Nice math.
So we thought we would spend a bit of time today talking about some of the songs that we're going to be doing at this upcoming show. And just kind of letting you in a little bit on the process, maybe playing you some samples of those songs as well so that you can... you can hear them. It should be a really good time. Oh, you know, and we should also mention that there are going to be some guest musicians performing
Indeed,
with us.
There are going to be some guest musicians.
You want to tell them who's going to be there?
I will tell you who's going to be there. We are delighted to be welcoming to the stage Ms. Annie Figenshoe.
Who happens to be my wife.
Happens to be Rob's wife, but she's also an extraordinarily gifted comedian and singer, and you're all going to get to see that on Thursday night. And Rick Hip Flores will be joining us as well, who is just a phenomenal pianist and musician, and he's also a songwriter. And
He's a music director of Chicago City Limits, as well as the guest conductor of shows like
Legally Blonde,
and the Putnam's County Spelling Bee. So this guy, he knows what he's doing. He's definitely the one up there. He's the one that we're all a little intimidated by. although I'm intimidated by Annie, but that's for purely marital reasons.
I'm not intimidated by anyone.
Right.
All right.
So anyway, let's start with the first song, which is aptly titled Out of My Mind. Out of My Mind is an interesting one. It's in a way, it's the one that we've, I think, kind of been struggling with the most along the way.
Definitely.
We set out to write a pop tune. You know, we set out to write a hit, which I guess that's what everybody does, right? If you knew how to write hits, that's all you would ever do. But it's so hard to do. I mean, it's so hard to do. It's elusive, the thing that makes something catchy, the thing that makes something accessible, and then, you know, like, if you go too far, it becomes cheesy, and blah, 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 blah.
Right, I mean, you hear these simple things all the time on the radio, and you think, oh, that's so easy, but then when you try to actually get down to it yourself, you're like, well, you know, it's just a little too schmaltzy, or it's just not interesting, or whatever. So that's the struggle that,
right,
you know, is before us when we sit down to write this kind of a song.
And the other thing about it is that it's always easier, in a way, to write ballads, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Or not easier, but it's kind of, I don't know, it's, I guess maybe it's easier to express yourself in a ballad,
yeah,
emotionally.
Yeah.
And so we write a lot of ballads and a lot of sort of mid-tempo tunes, and this was a definite, like, we need to write some more up-tempo things. And another part of what went into this tune was, at least creating the melody, I had really, you know, one of the things that I do when I'm not here with John is, you know, I'm a professional improviser, comedy improviser, and I do a lot of musical improvisation, and I find that the melodies that I create in musical improvisation, when someone else is playing the piano or the guitar or whatever, and I'm just jamming vocally, I find that I really like those melodies. They're catchy, they're great. And then when I'm playing the guitar, my melodies become too intertwined in what it is that I'm playing, and I think I definitely went into that song as well, trying to think, well, if I'm going to try to create something that I really dig, that is catchy, that is hooky, then I need to try to access that same sense of improvisation. And I think that that happened on the chorus for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You trusted that melody more, the vocal melody, definitely.
Yeah. So let's play a minute of said song, Out of My Mind.
All right. I wanted something.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of Out of My Mind.
And you said there are some issues with it?
Well, yeah, we've been having some... It's kind of been a tough song for us because playing through it, it starts to feel like it's... As you're playing through it, it's just like unrelenting. Like, it rhythmically on the guitar, it feels like it's just doing the same thing.
It's certainly unrelenting, like, on my fingers when I'm playing the bass.
And it's vocally tough, and it's tough. But I think we've sort of been thinking about what it is that, what it is that's been causing that. When we did that little demo of it, it wasn't as apparent, but when in playing it live and getting it ready for the show, that's when we're starting to feel it. And I think, the interesting thing is that rhythmically the guitar starts to do the same, starts a pattern on the little B section, the part that's like, you know, try to let you know, cry to let you blow, whatever that is. That little section, rhythmically, the guitar starts to do something that it then continues to do in the chorus.
Right.
And so the build into the chorus is not quite working as...
Right. The thing is, it seems like that song has trouble finding a groove. That's what, I mean, it has trouble, like, finding its niche and kind of sticking in it and feeling like you're arriving.
Well, it has to grow. Yeah, exactly. It's not arriving at the chorus correctly.
Right.
The chorus doesn't feel like it's really landing there yet. Anyway, luckily we have about 48 to 51 hours. No, we've got 53 hours until we have to perform it live. So hopefully in those 53 hours we'll solve that problem.
We'll shape it.
So let's move on to song number two. This is a song called Hold You That Way.
Yeah,
and I think we love this song.
Yeah, we really like this song. It was a real departure from what we're used to doing.
Yeah, it was interesting because we were just saying this the other night out at dinner with Annie and Rick after a rehearsal that that, you know, there's like, there's songs as you've written, once you've written a lot of songs, you sort of start to feel like every now and then you hit a marker where something has changed in your writing.
Definitely.
And it's like one song, I think, you know, you go, oh, that song was where we really took a, we grew a bit. Like, I think Olio is one of those. I think Doorways is one of those. Like, there's songs along the way, you know, lots of them along the way that are those kinds of things. And I think this is one, and specifically because structurally it was a really interesting song to write.
Yeah, this is one where we really trusted the structure, and we didn't rely on the fact that it had to be verse chorus or a bridge had to go here. We found a spot, and we actually just went with it because it felt right.
Yeah, we fought it for a while because we were like, wait, well, the basic story here is that we sing a verse, we sing a chorus, and then rather than go back to another verse, which we tried and tried to do, we decided eventually that we had to try something else. It wasn't working to go back to verse, and so what we tried was to go to a bridge. Usually, you know, in songs, you don't get to the bridge that fast.
Right, it just doesn't pay out.
Yeah, it's almost it feels like you need to kind of create other patterns before you break the pattern.
Right.
But this time we decided we didn't know what else to do. We thought, well, let's try going to the bridge, and it really worked. So the song structurally, the song is a verse, a chorus, a bridge, a verse, and a chorus, and that's it.
But the bridge is so different from the rest of the song that it really stands out, and it really delivers what I think we're going for in the song.
Yeah, it's it goes to a major key. That's one way,
right.
And then the harmonies go into become unison, and the song is just about the idea of.
What is it about? I don't know.
Well, it's just sort of like that quiet time at 3 o'clock in the morning when, you know, when songs are in the air. Not that it was written then, but it's a ripe time for either songwriting or for content of songs that are written at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I don't know when this was started. I think the guitar riff was actually come up with pretty late at night. But it's just about that quiet time, about, you know, you're with the person you love and maybe they're asleep and you're just kind of awake a little bit and you're thinking, oh, they're so great.
but if you really let that minor key settle in, you might think it's about something creepier. But
yeah, well, it does have a creepy vibe to it. It's almost like, well, and I think actually it started in that place of, oh, you're so great. And as the song developed, there definitely became an air of like, I don't know, this is crazy, but in my head, it's like a little bit of like a vampire.
Yeah, a little vampiric or vampiric.
Yeah, like definitely. A vampire thinking, oh, you're so great, and I'm going to bite you.
That was never the lyric, though.
It was never the lyric.
Never the lyric.
So here's a little bit of Hold You That Way.
Under the moonlight and the stars, I see you sleeping. There you are.
So you get a sense there of that's the verse going into the bridge. You get a sense of a bit of how the bridge starts to unfold.
Yeah, I think it's just beautiful.
Yeah, we really love that song. There's something really nice about that song, if somewhat cannibalistic.
Vampiristic.
Moving on. Okay, let's see. Next up is a song called Nothing Heart. And this one's been around for a while.
Yeah.
But we sort of finished it finally. There's lots of songs, lots and lots of songs that we have started a verse and a chorus of, and we abandoned, not because we didn't like them, but just because we were like, well, let's work on that later. And then we were too busy doing our podcasts.
Indeed. Yeah, podcasts keep years. Us very, very busy.
But Nothing Heart was one that we came back to. Has a great opening line. Tell them what the first line is, John.
First line is, she shoots herself out of a cannon every morning, which I think was the reason this song, you know, ultimately got written, because it really just described someone kind of, to me, someone in turmoil. They have a very fast life, and they're looking to slow it down in some way. And I think that line, I think, really spoke to Rob.
Yeah, it's a beautiful line. Shoots herself out of a cannon every morning and
She burns her way into the day till the flame can't go higher.
Yeah. There's just something that's so true about that image of somebody just really, just like, you know, I mean, for me, it's just like someone just going through the drudgery of every day and like, that fast pace. It's not even like you can sort of wander your way through it. You're just like, freaking out.
Yeah.
So, it's a beautiful song. And the bridge, we really love the bridge of that one.
There's something very magical about the bridge.
Yeah, there's a really nice bridge. We love writing bridges. You know, we think of bridges as sort of another song within your song. And I mean, it still needs to feel connected in some way, but you really have a chance to, like, try something new there.
Lyrically, I mean, the bridge really kind of is heart-wrenching to me as the singer. It's like, I look at my own life in that bridge, and
I'm like, it goes, nothing ever goes the way
that she dreamed it would, and it just
isn't it always that way? Yeah. Right turns turn into left ones,
and somehow turn into some days. And if you
some way,
if you think about that, it can be just really overwhelming.
Yeah. We worked a lot on the ending of the song, how to end that one. Usually the endings, I find, are pretty apparent. This one was a little tricky, finding the ending, but I think we've settled on something now, and it's pretty nice. We ripped off the chorus harmony, which is just John singing,
totally
strong. And meanwhile, me and Annie are just going, on top of that, which we stole directly from She's Leaving Home by the Beatles.
So directly from
we didn't
the Beatles.
Mean to steal it. It wasn't a conscious stealing, but we realized it pretty soon after and did nothing to return it.
I think when we did the chorus too, I think the Beatles were definitely in mind.
Yeah. Although in the subconscious part of our mind.
Yes.
So we don't have any kind of demo of this, but we do have a little bit of a...
The
first time we played through it. So we'll just play a little bit of maybe the chorus into the bridge. You'll
it's
enjoy.
It's kind of rough.
Yeah. Enjoy.
But you can't understand why our plans always are bound to elude. She's banging her fists on the wall, losing the fight. She's looking to be strong. She's hoping the day comes along. She knows that she doesn't belong to her. Nothing ever goes the way that she dreamed it would. Isn't it always that way? Right turns turn into left ones, and somehow turn into someday.
Okay, so the next song to take a listen to is a song called Marie.
Yeah, this is a very interesting song because it's one of those lessons in songwriting where you write something and then you're like, well, you know, it would kind of go better if it were this way kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's also, that sometimes there's a question of something being personal, like, you know, like, if you write a song, it's weird in a way to write and sing a song. Like, if I were to write and sing a song...
about your dad, for
about
instance.
My dad, and, like, use his name in it.
Right, you said Bob.
I mean, that would be weird because I don't call my dad Bob. But also, even just to say dad would be weird, you
right.
know? Or mom or whatever. Like, it, you know, and then specifically to use the name of the person that you are in love with or whatever. You know, it's just it's a tricky little thing. It feels strange to sing. It feels strange to write, even though it might not feel strange to the listener. Who knows?
Yeah, we don't.
But this was a little bit. It's the same story, but it's a little bit different too. John brought the beginnings of this song in a song with a character named Marie.
Yeah, and I don't think I told Rob immediately what it was about. But what it was about was. Someone I knew from childhood, they recently were killed in a gang argument. He got in the middle of it.
Yeah, and the guy's name was Malik.
And it was a really sad story. It really touched me. And when I started writing the song, it couldn't come out as Malik. It just didn't come out. What came out instead was Marie. And so I just went with it. I said, that's probably just fine. So when I brought the song to Rob, it already was, I believe it was already Marie. You remember?
Yeah.
Right.
And it was a beautiful song. And interesting structurally, too, because it's a three-line verse, which is a little funky. It just felt right that way. I think, actually, you brought it in with a little more of a turnaround that made it four, but I think we decided it felt better.
Yeah.
It was a three-line verse.
Definitely.
And... yeah, and the Marie thing, Marie Malik thing, you know, partially Malik is not quite as singable a name as Marie. No offense to anyone out there named Malik, or if you're a member of the Malik Name Society.
don't write us or sue us, nasty email or anything like that.
Nothing wrong with the name Malik. It's actually a beautiful name.
It is.
But it didn't quite work for this this thing. And there's it's similar story to, I guess, Hey Jude.
Yeah, Hey Jude. Well, McCartney, he originally wrote Hey Jules, and he's just like, it's not right for the song.
Yeah,
so,
Jules being Julian Lennon.
Right, Julian Lennon, yeah, sorry.
So, yeah, okay, so anyway, that's Marie. So here is a little slice of Marie / Malik.
Marie, remember you were always trying to help someone. What you were thinking when they drew the gun? You didn't change in that moment. You let them see what they needed to see. And I get older while you live forever, Marie. What did you want on that night? Try and save yourself. You left the world and the light grew darker. So much darker.
Yeah, I really like that way that it comes out of that bridge section into the darker thing. I like the fact that the music becomes darker as we're talking about
it being darker.
Yeah, there's something nice about that. And
yeah,
you know, something that people have said about our music that I've heard a lot is, you know, there's always something a little unusual in each song, and I don't think we intentionally go into it to try to do that, but I do like that exists in a lot of songs. Like there's just a moment that's a little bit out of the ordinary.
Well, that's good. I think it feels right to us, and so we go there. We're not afraid to go different, you know, places that are unusual in our writing.
Yeah, and you see how it hasn't in any way affected the financial return
on
our writing, too.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, that's true.
The last song we want to talk about is a song called Four in the Morning. And this one is about... my lovely wife, Annie, who again will be appearing with us this Thursday.
Indeed.
The 29th of August. Or
no,
20,
no,
sorry,
the 28th
of August.
The 28th.
28th, not the 28th.
Not the 29th.
The 28th of August, Thursday at 8 p.m. at Broadway Comedy Club, 318 West 53rd Street, 8 o'clock. Annie Figenshue, or Schiffman when she's not professional. Annie is, she, you know, like anybody who is smart and creative, she stresses about things. And this was a song that was written pretty shortly before we actually got married. And I knew that I wanted to write a song about her before we got married, maybe because John and I would then sing it at our,
yes,
at the wedding or the rehearsal dinner, which indeed, we ended up doing at the rehearsal dinner, which,
yes,
was really nice.
Yes.
But I wanted to write this song, and I was trying to think, what is it that I want to write about?
Well, did you know that this riff was going
to
be that?
The only thing we had the riff was the riff. Yeah, yeah. When we actually started writing the song, we didn't sit down to write a song
about Annie.
About
Annie,
no. But then it came out, and we had a guitar riff, which starts the song. And so the song is really about, like, you know, knowing that you'll always be there for someone when they're freaking out, even if it's at 4 in the morning, you'll support them and help them through.
But what's interesting, that's not how it began, because when we first started, we agreed on what the melody should be of the song.
Right, we had the riff, we played the riff, we kind of jammed on the melody a bit.
Yeah, right. And then we kind of developed that. And then the words came out. Now, I just remember what the words were. It was, there in the corner, moonshine in your hands. That was what I said to Rob.
It was about being an alcoholic.
It was about being an alcoholic. And then in a stroke of genius, it changed.
To moonlight, yeah.
Moonlight.
And we slowly realized maybe it's somebody asleep. Again, asleep in the middle of the night.
This is a theme.
And the moonlight coming through in there, you know, moonlight in your hands and just about staying awake with someone. We actually called the song Stay Awake for a while, but then
right. It
was actually Annie's idea. She said you should call it 4 in the morning. And this was such a nice writing experience. We often sit in one of our two living rooms.
Most often here at Rob's.
Most often
here
at John's. Sometimes over at John's.
Yeah.
And we write. And it's nice, you know, we have our setup here, and it's nice. It's a good way to do it. You sit on the couch, sit on the floor, whatever you want to do. But this was a beautiful day in the spring. And so we went out to Riverside Park, and we were like, let's just go there and do some writing.
Right.
We were also on a mission to find a spot for the picnic that we ended up having the day after the wedding. So,
somewhere else.
Right.
Entirely.
So we went and sat there. Debbie Rabai, our good friend, who will actually probably be singing with the Hillary Step at some point in the near future, hopefully. She came and sat with us, and we started writing. And we wrote this whole song out there in the park, and there was this woman who was lying on a blanket, like
reading
a book
or something.
And
feeling really nice.
And as she was leaving the park, she came by and she said that she had planned to leave earlier, but
right.
She decided she wanted to stick around and stay because we were writing this song and she really loved the song. And so she stayed until we finished the song, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah.
So we'll wrap up the podcast. We'll give you the whole demo on this one. But before we play this, let this play it out and finish up the podcast, just a reminder once again, Thursday night, the 28th of August, Broadway Comedy Club, 8 p.m., 318 West 53rd Street between 8th and 9th. Tickets are $10, two-drink minimum.
Yep.
And you can make the reservation by emailing thehillarystep@thehillarystep.com.
Yep.
You'll hear these songs as well as a bunch of other ones. And
Old faves.
And make sure to check out the website, www.thehillarystep.com.
And stay tuned for 2 years from now when we'll be delivering another podcast number eight.
No, we're going to vow to do them more often because we enjoy doing them. And
we do.
The feedback that we get from you all is that you enjoy them. And please do leave us feedback. You know, email us at the site. Let us know what you think, what you'd like to hear podcasts about. There's also all kinds of free music that you can get there from us and Hillary Step news. All kinds of good stuff. And keep a lookout because theoretically this fall it marks the release
of CD.
Of our new CD, Note to Self, as well as our EP.
All You Need Is.
All You Need Is, which is songs from a piece we did out in California last November.
Indeed.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you Thursday.
See you Thursday.
the corner, moonlight in your hands, gotta be somewhere around 4 in the morning, and you can't sleep again. Toss like the ocean, you turn like the sea, gotta be somewhere around 4 in the morning, you toss and you turn next to me. I see you again. Till 4 in the morning, taking your mind for a ride. So much to do, and you're running it through as the morning and evening collide. I will stay away.
You can't sleep again.
I will stay.
Understand. I
will stay away.
You can't sleep again.